After 60 years of selling furniture, TVs, and appliances, Madison-based retailer American announced this week it's going out of business. The retailer has 11 stores, 7 in Wisconsin, 2 in Iowa, 2 in Illinois, nearly 1,000 employees, 696 of them in Wisconsin, will lose their jobs. The going out of business sales begin today. We will talk about why this is happening to retailers like American, and it's happening to many retailers, but not all. We will wonder if you have changed your shopping habits. Are you using the internet more? Are you shopping at higher end stores? How about dollar stores? Or are you shopping as little as possible? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February 20th. We will talk with a guest expert about what is going on in retail and why we are losing stores like American, why giants like Sears and JCPenney and others are in trouble, and we'll wonder what can be done about it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Heatha Praubacher, Chief Research Officer at HP Retail Advisory in New York. She's also an author, investigative reporter, and retail and consumer spending analyst. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. I know you didn't get to grow up and watch the American TV and appliance commercials in Wisconsin like I did, but it really well-known company, a real powerhouse in the 70s and 80s especially, really aggressive advertising with Crazy TV Lenny. And so a lot of people listening right now are familiar with American. And I think it surprised a lot of people when on Monday it was announced due to, even though we know we have an unforgiving economy, the retailer is going to close up shop. What's happening to businesses like American TV and Appliance?
Right. Well, you know, what's really interesting is that my mother actually did part of her residency at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And before I went on your show, I asked her about American, and she was telling me about the commercial.
Oh, my gosh.
So back in the 70s, she said, oh, yes, I remember this. It was all over. And so in some ways, you know, I grew up in New Mexico, but we are a very much a Wisconsin household because my mom, you know.
You have that Wisconsin connection, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So she told me about these commercials. And I think what is happening, well, two things are happening. One, a lot of these local retailers, these mom-and-pop retailers, they just don't have the relationships with the vendors like the Walmarts and the Best Buys and the, you know, the Amazons have. They can price down the product because they're able to do a bulk buy and get these items cheaper and then offer it to consumers at a much cheaper rate. And what ends up happening is that these mom-and-pop shops lose out because they just don't have the leverage against the juggernauts of Amazon and Walmart.
Yeah. So, you know, it seemed as though American was a little bit more than mom-and-pop, but I suppose in the scheme of things, it was certainly smaller than Walmart.
Right. Exactly. And exactly. It's you know, I know American has several locations and it's across many states. So, you know, mid-size, but also that was something, that was a store that, you know, people had gone to for many years. Like I said, my mother had memories of this when she came to this country. And so, I think that, you know, that brand association is now getting eclipsed by the fact that people can just get product cheaper. And, you know, these stores, these mid-sized stores that had this brand loyalty can't compete anymore.
Boy, but they can't get a free TV or a free bike with purchase. That was one of the that was one of the deals that was going on all the time. I mean, it did actually kind of make me sad, though. The some are pointing to the internet, too, as a reason why, especially these types of appliance stores or electronic stores are struggling these days because people are buying all that stuff online.
Right. And the reason why it really has to do with this phenomenon called showrooming. So what people are doing now is that they're going to stores like American, or they'll go to a Walmart or Best Buy, and they'll figure out which appliances they want, see what the prices are, and then compare that online. And especially during the holiday, where you can get free shipping, Amazon has Amazon Prime, it really becomes cost efficient to do that. So again, you're losing brand loyalty for the sake of, you know, saving a couple hundred dollars to get delivery and, you know, that product.
And is it certain sectors like electronics, appliances? I mean, I remember Circuit City going out of business a few years ago. CompUSA went under not too terribly long ago. I'm hearing rumors that Best Buy isn't doing the greatest either. Is this particular sector being particularly hard hit?
It's certainly going through a shakeup. And what's happening is that I think technology, as we all know, is changing at such a rapid rate, and these stores can't keep up with it. I mean, just look, an iPhone 6 is about to roll out. I still have my 4S. Mm-hmm. It's only been a year and a half. So these stores can't seem to keep up with technology, and it's not just with smartphones and tablets and computers. It's with televisions. If you recall back in 2009, 2010, the 3D television came out. So everyone was all excited about it. Everyone bought them. People projected that this was going to be the new wave. And I would walk into Best Buy during the holiday season to do my, usual channel checking, which is to check out product, see what's selling, see what's not. And it was like tumbleweeds by the 3D televisions. And I think what's happening is that these stores can't seem to get the grasp on the product because they don't know what their customer wants. And it's almost too little too late.
Yeah. Well, we have, Sean on Facebook writes, who has money to buy stuff anymore? This isn't surprising. Our house is already full of stuff. But young people can't get their economic footing, establish their careers, start their families, or buy houses that get filled with furniture and appliances. Sean's saying that it's just especially, I guess, the middle class that doesn't really have money to buy stuff anymore.
Well, and that's a very good point. Even though we're seeing housing starts increase, they've been the largest increase we've seen in the last 5 years over 2013. People still can't fill those homes, and nor do they want to. I mean, as much as we think that the economy is getting better and unemployment is getting better, I think people are still very afraid as to what may happen. We have Obamacare that's coming out. People are trying to, get situated with that. There are a lot of macroeconomic factors that are really impacting consumer spending. And appliances are large ticket items. It's not a small buy. And whereas in the, 70s and 80s, where people would replace their washer and dryer frequently, we're just not doing that anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, I truly am in the market now for a new dishwasher because finally I swear it's 20 years old. My 20-year-old dishwasher is kind of pooping out. It still works, but but I'm, it's like, well, I guess I'll have to start looking around. And I really was. I guess I'll be going to Americans going out of business sale. It's kind
of. Right, this might be a good time to, unfortunately, for
right.
them. But, great for the consumer, bad for the retailer.
Yeah. Well, we will take calls for our guests, and we will welcome your questions and your own reactions to American TV and appliance going out of business. And it's not just American. There have been some stories about how it's middle class retailers are really struggling these days, whereas higher end stores are doing all right or better. I guess people with, with bucks are able to go shopping at some really high end stores. and or they don't have a whole lot of money, and we're shopping a whole lot more at dollar stores. Dollar stores are doing all right, but what about all these businesses in the middle? We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Longtime Madison-based retailer American TV and Appliance is going out of business. The liquidation sales start today. It's the latest bad news for middle-class merchants. We are talking with a guest retail and consumer spending analyst about why this sector is being hit so hard, what stores are doing to keep afloat, and we'll talk more about the future of retail in America. And we want to know if your shopping habits have changed since the Great Recession. Do you still shop at so-called middle-class retailers like American or JCPenney or Sears? Has the internet changed the way you shop at brick-and-mortar stores? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our guest is Heatha Praubacher. She is Chief Research Officer at HP Retail Advisory in New York. Let's go to the phones. Patrick in Greenfield is with us. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a lot of fond memories of American. In fact, I used to drive all the way to Madison to buy stuff before they opened up stores in the Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit the nail on the head when you said they were a middle-class retailer, because part of the problem that is affecting them and all other retailers just like them is the fact that there is a small regional middle-class retailer, and the middle class is dying out in America due to the economic practices that our government is allowing to happen, where the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And it's also a perfect storm where giants like Walmart and others who are unfairly gaming the system, so to speak, are using the government resources to supplement their workforce so that they don't pay out the wages that they should be doing. And American did do the right thing. They played by the rules, yet they're being punished, and now they're being driven out of business by Walmart's and the other retailers that are using their bulk unfairly and have tilted the playing field in their benefit.
All right, Patrick, thanks very much for the call. So what do you think of that the allegation that, you know, the big box stores like Walmart are, you know, unfairly gaming the system, and that's forcing middle class retailers like American and others out of business?
I absolutely agree with Patrick. These middle class retailers can't get leverage when it comes to pricing out that product, and unfortunately, they, you know, because of their relationships with the vendors, they don't have, you know, those strong ties where they can really price that product at a low rate, and they have to pay for their overhead costs. So that cost ends up getting passed on to the consumer, whether that's a couple cents or a couple dollars. But that, you know, that has an impact on the middle class consumer. And because that increase exists, the middle class consumer goes elsewhere. Because let's face it, as much as you want to support your middle class retailer, you know, this retailer that you've been going to for many years, maybe many generations, maybe your parents went there, the fact of the matter is we're in an economic crisis. People are still hesitant to spend money, and if they have to make a purchase on an appliance, they're going to go the cheapest way, whether it's Walmart or Amazon or, you know, Best Buy. It unfortunately becomes a financial decision for that consumer.
Yeah. Let's go next to Artis in Madison. Hi, Artis.
Hi. I don't agree that Walmart is the one chasing them out of business. I think most people are smart enough to realize you don't get that many good buys at Walmart. And a lot of them are afraid because of what you hear about the work being done by children and far countries. However, what Best Buy and American have both done is they've gotten careless of their buyers, of the people who come to them. I bought from Best Buy and American in the last few months and could get no service. I had a problem at Best Buy because I had a brand new dishwasher that overflowed, and they fought whether or not it was their fault. I have decided, like many of my friends, that you cannot trust them to service what they sell you, and weren't trying to find little places, if possible, smaller places who value their customers. I was told by somebody to go to Maine, or there's a place in Lodi that's a smaller. There's another place in Oregon. And while I am not a rich person by any means, I can pay for a new item and I never buy on the internet, by the way, ever. I want to see, but I want to talk to somebody who, if I call them later and say, this isn't running right, what do I do? They don't indicate that it's none of their business anymore.
I get it, artists. Artist wants good customer service and didn't think she was getting it. What about that? If a retailer really offers that good customer service, does that retailer have an edge?
Oh, well, absolutely. And I think that's what the problem was with Best Buy that we saw prior to the new CEO being implemented. Best Buy really had a problem with customer service. You couldn't get any help. There was no one on the floor to help you. When you did buy something in the store, no one really understood the warranties. It was just a mess. And when Hubert Joly came in and, he made customer service really the focal point. So customers, we can't discount customer service. I haven't been shopping at American, but, that really is a sticking point with people. I mean, when you are going to make a big purchase, you want to be treated like a valued customer. So if the store isn't going to do that, well, you're going to take your money elsewhere.
Yeah. How big of a bite is the internet taking out of the brick and mortar store? Is it substantial right now?
Oh, by 2015, we're going to see about $80 billion worth of sales on the internet and mobile devices, if you can believe it.
Wow.
So, and while, I think generations, before maybe mine, are a little bit hesitant to buy on the internet, younger generations are doing so much of their shopping via mobile devices and online. And so that's where we're going to see that trend. And stores are getting on board. We had mentioned that JCPenney had closed down closed about 33 stores and cut 2,000 jobs. But they did that to save $65 million annually because they knew that those underperforming stores were just going to eat into their bottom line. And they wanted to essentially spend that capital expenditure, which is, trying to get, online store, product and stuff up and running. They wanted to reallocate that to online because they knew that's where shopping was going.
We have Richard on Facebook who writes, here in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, many smaller mom-and-pop shops are still making a nice go of it. The ones which fail do not differentiate from the big-box retailers and do not personally work their own enterprises. In other words, if you're competing with Walmart on Wonder Bread and Charmin, not sure I get that, and do not do your own store full-time, you will not survive. I guess that means, again, a good customer service and a lot of it.
Right. It's crucial. The margins right now to grab that market share of the customer business is so narrow that stores have to pull out all stops in order to make sure that customer is spending at their store. I was just looking at a report by Mint.com. It's a money managing site, and they, poll about 2 million people. And they were saying in this report that men actually spend $600 or $700 more than women. And 6% of that $600 or $700 is being spent on appliances. Well, if your store isn't catering to those demographics and understanding, who's spending what, men versus women, even that little small variation can cost you, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue.
Yeah, let's take one more call before news. Annalisa, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, this is just a recollection of mine. I'm old enough to remember that when American started out, they were bigger, louder, and glitzier than the smaller appliance stores. And I would venture to guess that they put a few people out of business because their commercials were so funny and interesting. They had more product in their store. So this is kind of the evolution of capitalism.
Well, you know, that they were called a big box store by the smaller appliance stores in Madison. I remember that, too. Well, maybe we'll pick up on that point after the news. We are talking about retailing in America after the announcement that American TV and Appliance is going out of business. Longtime Madison-based retailer announced this week that it is shutting its stores. They are starting their going out of business sales today and will be shutting down their 7 stores in Wisconsin, 2 in Iowa, and 2 in Illinois. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest expert about what's going on in retail and why we are losing stores. Retailers like American TV and Appliance, which announced this week it is going out of business. Other giants like Sears and JCPenney and others are struggling, and we are wondering why and what can be done about it. And wondering if you are shopping differently these days, differently since the Great Recession. Are you doing more online shopping? Are you doing less shopping, period? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Heatha Praubacher. She is a Chief Research Officer at HP Retail Advisory in New York. She's also an author, an investigative reporter, and retail and consumer spending analyst. And we just heard from a caller before news time who remembered the crazy TV Lenny ads and how big and glitzy and unique American TV and Appliance was when it really started advertising in the 70s and 80s. It's been around for 60 years, but she thought that it was a big box store, and it probably put its share of smaller mom and pop stores out of business. And I guess made a comment that it's, you know, what goes around comes around, or that's the way it is in retail. A reaction, Heatha, to that?
I think back in the 70s and 80s, you know, just from a marketing standpoint, a lot of these retailers wanted to go big. I mean, if you think about that era, everything was bigger and flashier and more exciting, and it was all about spending money and buying. And I think now it's not so much, yes, you could do those flashy ads, but I think a retailer, if they stayed on that pathway on marketing, they would realize quickly that it just wouldn't garner the same interest from customers. The consumers changing the way they shop. They don't need flashy ads to tell them to come shop here. They don't need signs in their faces to tell them to come over. What they do want is a discount. And we saw that with JCPenney. I mean, we witnessed it ourselves. You know, they appointed this new CEO, Ron Johnson, a couple years ago. He had this grand idea to get rid of all of JCPenney's discounts. He wanted to put new products mixed in there. He wanted to change up the consumer base. And it went awry. The American public wants to get a discount. And at this point, it doesn't matter if there are signs in their faces saying, shop here, shop here, shop here. The proof is in the price. And if they don't see that discount, if they don't see that price drop, they're not going to go there. It doesn't matter if that flashy ad is still happening or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on at Sears? Sears is struggling too, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, speaking of appliance stores that, you know, remind me of being a child and, mm-hmm. you know, my parents going there to get appliances. I mean, that Sears was our first step. I remember going there and my mom shopping for a refrigerator and washer and dryer. And you know, over across America, you know, if you weren't going to American, you're probably going to go to Sears to get those appliances. And rightly so, they had a very strategic alliance with Whirlpool Corp. Everyone, you know, they got the best prices with Whirlpool. And somewhere around 2012, 2013, they disrupted that relationship. They didn't, they weren't the exclusive supplier of Whirlpool anymore. They undermined it, and you saw sales fall off of the deep end. And we were talking about as well customer service. Sears is notorious for terrible customer service. As much as they want to think that they're supplying their shoppers with it, the fact of the matter is they aren't. It's not the Sears that we knew back in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. It's a very different place now. And when we looked at numbers, you know, starting in August of 2013, when Sears reported out their earnings, they reported a $194 million loss, and sales fell about 6.3%, and it continues to be weak. The saving grace for Sears now is the fact that they own all of that real estate, because right now no one is shopping at that store for appliances.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have an email from Ross who says, you don't need that personal service. What people want is the least expensive. There is sort of a dichotomy there where we want good customer service, but we want to pay the cheapest price.
Right. And retailers should be able to provide that. I mean, that is not against the, you know, customer bill of rights. We should be able to demand low prices with great customer service. That's why we go to retailers. That's why we want to go to a specific retailer. That's why, as a customer, we have brand loyalty. And retailers are striving for that. So if they can't combine that to provide the best possible service with the lowest possible price, that's when they're going to start losing market share, and they're realizing that very quickly.
Yeah, I guess just personally, I may not need a ton of customer service just to pick out a pair of socks, but I do want good customer service if I'm buying a big appliance or some sort of expensive high-end item.
No, absolutely. I was in the market for a television, and you know, I channel check, so I sort of know the difference between a 720 DP and a 1080p, you know, mm-hmm. television and what that means. But, you know, the nuts and bolts of it, I would definitely need some
right.
some advice. And when you don't have that, when you don't have someone to kind of give you the breakdown of that, it's confusing. And, you know, you're making a big purchase. We're at a point in the economy where we don't want to just spend money on something and not get what we want. And that's why I think customer service is really coming to the focal point now.
Yeah, but I guess I haven't shopped at Walmart in quite a while. It seems to me that you have a greeter at Walmart, but do you have great customer service at a store like Walmart?
I think that Walmart is really trying to push their customer service. I think that it varies from store to store. I can't, in some of the stores that I've been to, customer service is, you know, okay. In other stores, it's really fantastic. I think it really just depends on the department. And that's actually a problem. If there is not consistent, great customer service in all departments, in all stores, that's when you're going to start losing leverage. So we can't even just say, oh, well, Walmart's electronics section is great, but their toy department is terrible. It should be a mandate that customer service is great in all the stores across the country and across the world. And as we're finding out, it's very difficult to do, but, you know, they have to.
Gary in Ripon is with us now. Hi, Gary.
Good morning. You haven't brought up the factor of sales tax. If I go to a physical store, I always have to pay sales tax. If I buy online, I don't. And I know I'm supposed to report that on my state income tax form, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, hardly anybody
does. The
vast
majority of that never gets reported.
You're going to get charged it with Amazon now that there is a brick and mortar in Wisconsin. Amazon is going to charge the Wisconsin sales tax. I guess that's the rule, Heatha. But a lot of other, if you're buying online with a company that doesn't have a brick and mortar in Wisconsin, you don't have to pay the sales tax. Is that playing a part in why online is growing and brick and mortar is not?
Absolutely. And before, I think that's why we saw such huge numbers happening in Amazon, you know, prior to these sales tax initiatives being implemented. People, you know, as Gary said, you know, they would go online because you don't have to pay sales tax. It's changing now, but I think that was definitely one of the perks, especially during the holiday when you weren't really paying sales tax. And we're talking about, you know, a couple years ago, a year or two ago, when you didn't have to pay sales tax and you were also getting free shipping. So why wouldn't you buy online and have that delivered to your home and not have to pay that tax on that product?
Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing that up, Gary. John in Green Bay is with us. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. A question for your guest. Wondering, you know, I think we talk about Sears all the time, and for years they kind of hung their head on hard lines and obviously Craftsman tools. And now we're seeing a kind of a growth in the Costco's and a lot of their development of their house brands. Kirkland is obviously a huge brand. And I'm wondering, is it a possibility for some of these large retailers to a way around the getting away from the brand names and developing more of their house brands to stay competitive?
That is a really good point. And actually, there was a piece that came out about how a lot of these retailers are, in fact, developing their in-house brands because they are just as good as the brand names. And you're seeing a huge shift of customers buying those store brands, like Kirkland, for example, or, you know, there's a Whole Foods down the street from my house. It's the nearest grocery store to me, Whole Foods brand. That is incredibly cheaper, and, you know, people start to buy that. So, yes, you're definitely seeing customers buy those in-house brands, and I wouldn't put it past them to actually start producing, you know, bigger, larger ticket items. What's to say in a couple years that Costco may come out with their own appliances and just get away and have, you know, get away from these relationships they have to have with vendors and just develop it on the in-house, and that would cut cost even more. So we're definitely seeing that shift over to in-house brands.
We are talking about the future of retail in America, what's going on right now with so many stores struggling to keep afloat, the closing of longtime Madison-based retailer American TV and Appliance. And I'm going to talk more with our guest, Heatha Praubacher, about an article in the New York Times recently that talked about how the middle class is shrinking, and businesses know this, that high-end stores are doing okay, low-end stores are doing okay, but it's the middle-class retail stores that are really struggling. We'll talk a little bit more about that and whether they can expect a rocky ride for a while yet or what's going to change things. We do have Patrick on Facebook who writes, "It is too bad that American is closing and 1,000 people will be out of work. Unfortunately, the shrinking middle class cannot afford to buy anything but necessities, and the rich don't need to buy many refrigerators." What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the state of retailing and focusing in on this issue of middle-class retailers struggling these days. What's going on and what can we do about it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our conversation is prompted by longtime Wisconsin-based appliance and furniture retailer American going out of business. Liquidation sales are beginning today at American's 11 retail stores, 7 in Wisconsin, 2 in Illinois, 2 in Iowa. But this is happening with other retailers. Sears and JCPenney and others are having hard times. Yet an article in the New York Times talks about how the higher end stores, you know, expensive stores are doing okay, and dollar stores are doing okay. Why is it that it's the middle class retailer that's taking the brunt here? And let me ask you that, Heath Probacher. Is that what's happening here? Is that we're either very rich or very poor, and nothing in between?
Right. Well, it's this effect that we've been seeing for the last couple of years. It's called the barbell effect. And as you said, the wealthy during the recession. The wealthy were, you know, concerned that maybe their investments were, you know, going to depreciate a little. But for the most part, they weren't concerned with their employment situation. You know, many of them ran their own companies. Maybe they had stable jobs. They weren't as concerned. So their spending continued and spending on high-end items. On the other end of that barbell, we have people that were extremely concerned. Maybe they had lost their jobs. Maybe they had been on unemployment and then suddenly they weren't anymore. Maybe they had no prospects. And that's why we're seeing dollar stores do also well. But then, you know, you see stores, for example, like JCPenney and Sears, where that middle class consumer, that as well, I mean, while they are also sharing that same concern that maybe the lower earning consumer shares those fears of unemployment mm-hmm. and where's the next paycheck coming from, they're having a more difficult go at it. And I think, what we're seeing now is the effect of their shopping patterns. They're going to drop it down. They're going to start going to the dollar stores even more. And the dollar stores have a different, again, it's the relationship with these vendors that these stores have. Walmart's, Kmart's, you know, Sears, the relationship they have with the vendors, they can't quite price out to the point where the consumer feels good enough to go ahead and purchase big ticket appliances there, or even small ticket appliances. They have to go to dollar stores. So really, it's this barbell effect that we're seeing.
Yes.
And we've been seeing it for many years now.
Well, then is anything going to change? Is it going to get better for these middle class retailers without the broader economy improving, or what's going to happen?
I mean, I hate to be dour Dolly, but mm-hmm. I think it's really going to be we're going to see a lot more stores go out of business, these middle class retailers, and a lot more of the middle class affected before we see change come. And it's very unfortunate. It's just the state of our economy right now. We've been seeing it now for the last 4 years. It's the path that the economy is going. As we've mentioned, the middle class is disappearing. But it's that's where it's going. And again, as we see this middle class shrinking, we're also seeing that spending pattern shrink as well. And they spend at these middle class stores. And we're going to see a lot more American appliance stores go out of business. Maybe not just in Wisconsin, but, you know, I was doing a study. There were stores all over the country. In 2003, I think there were 5 different appliance stores that had gone out of business across the country. So, you know, there was one out of Chicago. There was one, there's Orchard Supply and Hardware on the East Coast. So it's not just affecting certain areas. It's sort of an epidemic all over the country.
So is online going to be able to take care of this? Or is this, I guess I'm trying to sense, is this bad news for the consumer overall? Or, well, you know, will the online business be just fine for us to buy our appliances?
Again, I think it's about what that consumer wants. Mm-hmm. And as I've been studying in the last 4 years, I've seen consumer spending patterns change rapidly. Consumers are getting more on board with buying online. I know a couple of your callers, you know, said they'd never buy anything online. And, you know, I think certain generations definitely don't want to do that. And I think even, you know, other younger generations are still getting on board. But as things get easier to purchase online, as security becomes more specific and stringent, and people feel better about using their cards to buy things online, we're going to see that happen more and more.
Ben in Madison is with us. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes. I understand you are a retailer.
Yes. I own a small electronics audio video retail store. And we've actually found post-recession that a lot of our products that appeal to more middle-income segment have increased quite dramatically. We offer a lot more customer service, and I think a lot of the large retailers had a difficult time adapting, especially when it comes to technology, to sort of explaining the application of a lot of these technologies to people when it comes to appliances or when it comes to, in our segment, audio video equipment. And I think when people do spend sort of middle income, or and we go all the way up to higher end items as well, they really want more of a, at least from our experience, they want more of a service component, especially when it comes to technology, because it can be very confusing.
But you're doing okay selling your audiovisual stuff.
We're doing actually quite well. I mean, especially post-recession, everybody had a difficult time in the 2008 to 2010 period. But our market share, a number of our competitors like American have gone out of business, but our business has increased quite substantially in the past 2 to 3 years.
So, Heatha, what do you think? Does Ben have the secret here?
I think he does, and I think he nailed it. I think it's about the product mix. I mean, the one thing that I've seen with these audiovisual stores and appliance stores is that where they can really maintain market share is, one, customer service, but also the product mix and understanding what that customer wants, knowing who their customer is, and making sure that that store is stocked full of product that that customer wants and will frequent and buy frequently. I think that really, when you saw problems with stores like Best Buy, they were stocking their stores full of 3D televisions and, more washer and dryers or things that people don't necessarily want. But and I haven't been in Ben's store, but I know it seems to me the stores that I have seen that are very successful really focus on phones, tablets, computers, audiovisual, GoPros. It's a big, camera now. Everyone wants to make their own movies and, be a filmmaker. So understanding that that's where the market share is going, that's where the customer is going, that's key. And that makes sense. Post-recession, he's doing quite well.
I meant to ask you specifically about Sears starting up a drive-through window that people can shop online and then go drive through a drive-through window and pick up their stuff at Sears?
A lot of stores are, doing this where they want to integrate. It's called omni-channel retailing, and that's a big, complicated word implemented by the chairman of Macy's, Terry Lundgren. But basically what that means is retailers want people to be able to buy online, buy on their mobile devices, buy in stores, buy basically everywhere through catalog. And this is just one way that stores are able to kind of integrate that. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, again, they want to sort of make that buying transaction as seamless as possible and as easy as possible. This is really for the person that wants to get that discount online, but wants to, pick it up physically and maybe not want to pay for the shipping. Well, and we're going to see that a lot with Walmart and Best Buy and as well as Sears and Kmart.
Thank you so much for being with us. Learned a lot this hour. Heatha Prabhakar is Chief Research Officer at HP Retail Advisory in New York.